Do you believe?
Welcome to another episode of Bringing Home the Hardware with Kate Constable and Mark Drumheller. We had a very exciting, well, somewhat exciting national championship game, Washington and Michigan. Mark, my Huskies could not bring it home. That might have been one of the worst games I've seen Michael Penix Jr. play this season. I mean, some of those throws just like totally missing his receivers, overthrowing so much like that. So I did not cash on that national championship game. I lost. But Jim Harbaugh, the Wolverines, they bring home the national championship back to Ann Arbor for the first time in a very, very long time.
Yeah, so, you know, it was good to see Harbaugh finally win the national championship. I was on the other side. I had Washington. My big play was the over, and that's what I was really disappointed in. You know, like, we didn't get the points that we expected from the Washington side, and I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, I know complaining about the officials is a little bit taboo, but man, did it seem like, you know, it was a little bit one-sided. Like, you know, and a lot of people say, like, oh, it's good that they're letting them play. But when you look at the profiles of each team, Washington, the explosive offense, the, you know, three Sunday wide receivers that are going to be playing in the NFL, and you're just letting them Michigan guys just put their hands all over them all game. Like deciding to let them play in itself favors Michigan very heavily. So yeah. I wasn't a fan of the officiating. I wanted more points because I wanted to cash my bets.
Yeah. I mean, I was on Washington too. And if you're on Washington, you're likely on the over because that means Washington scoring a ton. It's a faster paced game and Michigan has to keep up. I thought that was going to be the case when Michigan scored on their opening drive. Like, we had points on the board early. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't bet the over. But I was thinking, oh, I should have taken that. But yeah, not the best showing for Washington. Michigan did some some good things, obviously, in order to pull out that win. Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, obviously a couple touchdowns apiece. And Jim Harbaugh gets his national championship at Michigan. And so he potentially joins the carousel of coaches that are on the move a lot in the NFL this week with Black Monday, not having jobs anymore. And then this whole week of sports news has just been like bombshell after bombshell after bombshell of Nick Saban retiring, Bill Belichick parting ways with the Patriots. I mean, a plethora, Pete Carroll gone. Mm-hmm. And Harbaugh has to potentially fall in there somewhere. Do we think he's going to the NFL?
I think so. I mean, it seems like the writing's on the wall. Like, he hired the agent, you know, a new agent to try and get there. I'm just not sure where he fits. Like, I know a lot of people are pointing him to the Chargers. Like, if I'm the Chargers, you know, I would make a run at Bill Belichick. Like, you already have the offensive pieces there. Like, if you can get that defense in line, I think it works. And if you look at, like, they're not in the best cap situation, right? So they're going to have to get some cheap guys to play defense that are going to have to overachieve. And, like, who better to go in there and do that with Bill Belichick? You know, I have a question for you, Kate, about Harbaugh. I'm wondering if, like, the time off, like, I think people, he was successful in San Francisco. People expect him to just, like, hop back in the NFL and be an instant success. I'm not so sure, like, if it's going to work that way. Like, it seemed like, you know, the 49ers offense got a little bit figured out and he dipped, you know, once they did, obviously, you know, he didn't get along with the owner. Him stepping that back after all this time, like, I don't know if it's going to be as smooth a transition as everyone expects.
Well, it wasn't when he went from the NFL to college. And I know that's different. Mm-hmm. He hadn't coached in college ever. Was he a college coach prior to going to the NFL? I don't even know.
Yeah, I'm not sure offhand, but he was on the brink of getting fired before they beat Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, he was at Michigan. It's crazy. Like, 9 years, and they've only been good the past couple seasons. So I'm not sure he just automatically goes back to the NFL and is great. I would kind of like him, and this isn't happening because Matt Eberflus is being retained by the Bears, but I did kind of like the idea of him coming to Chicago. I'm not sure, again, he would have, like, turned things around completely, but being he played for the Bears, I just thought that would be a good fit with what the Bears have here. But it's hard for any coach to go into a new team. And even if you are an NFL coach going to a new job, like another team in the NFL, it still takes some growing pains. And, you know, you're implementing your system. All of that has to change for the players that have been there for a while. So it's not always just smooth sailing or as easy as people think, like, okay, he just won a national championship at Michigan. Why doesn't he go take the Bears job or the Chargers job or any of the openings in the NFL? And they're, as long as they have the pieces on the field to win, he's the missing piece in terms of needing a winning coach. It's just not that simple.
Yeah, I know he's been linked to the Raiders, too. I think that makes a little bit of sense. Like, they want a guy they can kind of bring in. Tennessee gets rid of Vrabel right at the time where I think, is their new stadium opening next year? I know they're building that new stadium. It's like a dome in Tennessee. I wonder if that's part of it is, hey, they want to bring in a new fresh name, kind of catapult them into the new era. So a guy like Harbaugh would make sense there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If they wanted to do that to kind of get ticket sales up or whatnot, you know, you have to remember it's a business, you know? So all that stuff comes into play, but it'll be interesting to see where he lands. I mean, listen, Pete Carroll, I did not see coming. I didn't expect him.
There was zero chatter about that, right? Like I don't remember hearing anything about Carroll being on the hot seat.
Yeah, I had some Seattle futures that didn't get home, so glad to see there's some kind of repercussions there in Seattle, right? You know, we can't have Drumheller out there losing money.
No, you really can't.
Head's got to roll. So sorry, Pete, but hopefully you get another chance somewhere else. But the big one, Nick Saban retires. Bill Belichick parts ways with the Patriots today. I mean, that just shakes the whole landscape of football at the collegiate and professional level.
I mean, I have had a SportsCenter, ESPN, First Take, whatever is on most all morning, and it's like a funeral. It's like these two guys just died. Like, everyone's like mourning the loss, which it's a huge loss in the sport. Like, college football, no one better to do it than Nick Saban. Bill Belichick, you could argue maybe a couple of names, but he's probably the greatest NFL coach of all time. So it is a huge loss, but it just feels like this is like, I almost feel like this is when Kobe died and the news just went on and on and on. And it, like just stories from ex-players and friends and things like that. All remembering Kobe and everything. And it almost kind of feels like that's what's happening right now of all these networks bringing on these past players being like, tell us your favorite memory about playing for Nick Saban. And it's like, I mean, they're still here, but yes, huge loss for college football. And I don't know about you, Mark, like maybe I just don't have what it takes to be put in that situation or to ever want to, but I would not want to be the coach taking over for Nick Saban at Alabama. Like opportunity wise, fantastic opportunity, but those are some massive shoes to fill that I would not want that.
Absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see like who gets in there. I know, you know, recently with Dan Lanning, the video that he put out today was incredible. I thought, you know, the whole like, hey, if you want to come from, you don't want to worry about your coach leaving, come to Oregon, you know, as he announced.
No way, I didn't see that.
Oh, it's incredible. You have to see it. Yeah. Dan Lanning, he sent it from his own Twitter account. And it was amazing. You have to. And it's like, you know, we're here. Like, you know, part of achieving your goals is consistency. And it was just an amazing video, dude. So Oregon people, very happy. I know Trista's probably real happy, right? So, it's but that is amazing. So he takes himself out of the running. Kalen DeBoer shoots up to the odds-on favorite to be the next Alabama head coach, which I think would be a tremendous hire, seeing him go, you know, what he did at Washington and his entire, you know, collegiate career coaching. Seeing him get a crack at Alabama, I think would be really good. You know, and I also think, you know, you can't discredit Lane Kiffin. You know, I know that a lot of people are like, hey, you know, I don't know if Saban would want him, you know, taken over afterwards, but the one thing you have to give Lane credit for is he's the portal king. Like he is working that portal like no other. Nobody's better to transfer a portal than Lane Kiffin, man. And if you want to be, you know, a competing school in this new era of college football, you want to be the top dog, you got to win the portal. And that's something Lane Kiffin has shown he's better than anybody at.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think Kalen DeBoer would be great. He would be my
I would love it, man.
My top choice. I mean, yes, he did just lose in the national championship, but outside of that, he just wins everywhere he's at. I mean, two losses in the last, well, three now in the last two seasons at Washington, something crazy like that. Like the guy just doesn't lose. So you need Alabama needs to like continue its prominence and continue its winning culture, just because, I mean, it's likely to drop off because it's not Nick Saban coaching anymore, but for that school, like you have to bring in someone that's still going to continue to be able to pull those high end recruits and portal players, things like that. Yep. And I think DeBoer would be a great fit there.
And the key there is too, is quarterback development, right? We saw Michael Penix Jr., his ascension from when he went to Indiana, did some good things at Indiana, but he was injured. He was kind of a little bit all over the place, right? You know, not consistent. Mm-hmm. He goes to Washington, leads the most explosive offense in college football. You know, maybe LSU, all right, but top two, whatever. Yeah. You know, we can bicker about that. But, you know, it's just an incredible offense the past 2 years. You know, they go like 25-3 or whatnot, you know, somewhere along those lines is the record. And, you know, what does Alabama have? Jalen Milroe, right? So a guy who is raw, has some talent, but needs some development as a passer. Yeah. You know, can Kalen DeBoer get the job done, you know, with Milroe? I think it's a great fit. I would love to see it as well. But it's going to be fun times, man. Like, I can't wait for week zero already.
Yeah. And it's going to come fast, too. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl coming up. I mean, Super Wild Card Weekend. Do they call it Super Wild Card Weekend?
I think they still do. I think they like changed it last year, but then they brought it back this year. But
okay, well,
you know, I like to call it Wild Card Weekend. Every week's super to me.
Right, exactly. Yes, Wild Card Weekend, which means Super Bowl's around the corner. If we had to, just because we're, you know, an awards kind of future-y podcast, if you had to name a Super Bowl winner at this point, Mark, who would you have?
I bet some Ravens. So I did bet the Baltimore Ravens. I think they are going to win the Super Bowl this year. I think they're the best team. And I think that it's the perfect time for Lamar Jackson to kind of take that leap and add to his legacy. My NFC pick is a little interesting. You might not see it coming, Kate, but I do think the Ravens
Rams?
Get there.
Do you like the Rams?
So the Rams, very popular. But I think I bet at 9-1 at BetMGM, I bet Ravens and the Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl. The Cowboys are a team that I do not believe in, haven't believed in all year. But I think there could be a path for them to get there. You know, anybody who's listened to me over the past, gosh, what is it, January, 4 or 5 months, knows my concerns about the San Francisco 49ers and their ability to stay healthy. And we're seeing them kind of break down now at the end of the year. McCaffrey a little bit banged up. Debo's been hurt. Purdy a little bit banged up. And if those injuries, you know, Trent Williams with the groin, if they are banged up by the time it's the NFC Championship, I think Dallas has a pretty clear path. They're going to play both games at home. You know, they're going to get, you know, probably the winner of, if the Rams win, which I think they'll win, they'll get the winner of Philadelphia and Tampa, which they'll be able to steamroll at home in the divisional round. So they'll get to the NFC Championship and either face, you know, I think the Rams at home or the 49ers on the road. And if the 49ers are banged up, I think they have a chance to pull the upset. If it's the Rams, I think, you know, Dallas at home against a Rams team that just got done playing at Detroit and at San Francisco coming off a big upset, I think that's a spot they could win at too. So I think there's a little bit of a path there for the Cowboys to get to the Super Bowl. And of course, me being from Philadelphia, I think the Ravens would win that matchup by about 50 points. But
I was going to say, I can't imagine you picking the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl.
No, not at all. Not at all. But I do think that there's a chance that Dallas getting there. Maybe it's because I don't like the 49ers and I'm kind of white knuckling this take that they can't stay healthy. It's very possible. We're all human. We have biases. But I think there's a path for the Cowboys. I think the Rams' path is a little too tough. Having to go on the road to Detroit, having to go on the road to probably, you know, Dallas or San Francisco the next round, and then going on the road again. That's a lot of road in the playoffs to win.
Yeah. If I had to take like a long shot, the Rams would be my long shot, but I don't have to. And I, on the other side of you, like, I love the 49ers, so I'm probably too biased in wanting to pick the 49ers and not doing it more with my heart than my head. But I like 49ers and Ravens in the Super Bowl, but I do agree with you. I think the Ravens win the whole thing as well.
Yeah, I can't wait. I always like Lamar, man, and I just want him to kind of like stick it to the public that people have always been kind of giving them a hard time. But it'll be fun. It'll be fun playoffs, man. I'm excited. I got my bets locked in. All of them but one. I'm waiting on the number on Houston, but the other ones I got locked in, so I'm excited.
Love it, love it. A little NBA action. Futures market in the NBA. Tyrese Halliburton injury. He's out for a couple of weeks now. Thankfully, nothing worse than like a hamstring strain. But hamstring strains, those can, if they're not fully healed when you come back, like those can linger. And so now we're getting into the issue of needing to play 65 games on the season in order to be included in these postseason awards. I mean, Mark, Joel Embiid is nearing, by the end of the season, will likely be nearing that 65 game mark, and possibly not playing enough to win MVP, even though he's playing at an MVP caliber level. Do you see that possibly being the case for Tyrese Halliburton with this new injury?
Yeah, I think it's tough because you nailed it. Like the hamstring stuff sometimes doesn't go away. And if this is something that bothers him the whole season, I think it's going to be difficult. You know, you look at the MVP odds and you see, you know, this shift where like, okay, you know, you have Halliburton out and then you have, you know, a guy like Embiid who, same thing again, right? Now the knee's acting up, right? The knee's acting up. You got swelling in the knee. It's going to be a long season. Can he stay healthy? Is he going to play enough games? So I think it opens it up for some people, man. And I, you know, we talked about SGA before, and I think that he's even more alive. Like he's down, I believe, 3-1 now in the MVP market. So I think that, you know, that's a guy to watch out for. But Embiid, I want to see the Sixers because – it hasn't been their MO. Now, Nick Nurse is there. It's a little bit different. But, you know, last year, you know, they weren't resting him. Like, they wanted him to get the award. And they ran him into the ground. And, you know, will they do the same thing this year? You know, does he want back-to-back awards? Like, how important is the award versus, you know, getting prepared for the postseason? You know, we'll find out. But I don't have a lot of confidence that he can stay healthy, especially if his knee is acting up at this point. So I think you got to look in some other directions.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, as good as Embiid's playing, I don't have confidence in him staying healthy. Just for hitting those 65 games. I mean, SGA averaging over 30 points a game. I mean, he's one of the reasons that the Thunder are top two in the Western Conference. They're winning a ton, so I do love him. I wish I would have gotten it at the beginning of December when he was 13-1 and not 3-1. But one other player a little bit further down the board that I would look at is Jalen Brunson at 15-1. I mean, this Knicks team, since OG Anunoby coming over, they've won 5 straight games. Their defense is better, but their offense now runs, I mean, it always has this season and since he's been traded through Brunson. And I think he could be someone who just puts up big numbers the remainder of the season and kind of shoots up a little bit on the board. And you might be getting him closer to 4-1 or something in a couple weeks versus 15-1 right now.
Yeah. So Brunson, I think he's amazing. And I think he has the talent to win the award. You know, where I question is like, are the players around him going to be good enough to where he can actually get there? Like, are the Knicks really for real? You know what I mean? Like, we talk about the East, it's Boston, it's Milwaukee, and it's kind of Philadelphia, depending on who you talk to. If you talk to me, it's Boston and Milwaukee. But, you know, the Philadelphia's up there record-wise, and they got a lot to prove in the playoffs. But, you know, can the Knicks break through and get into that top three? And I'm just not so sure. Like, I'm not sold yet. I think this is an initial bump from like, hey, they made the trade, they're excited, you know, that kind of thing. We'll see how it plays out during the rest of the season. But at this number now, I definitely think it's worth a shot.
Do you think a team has to be kind of in the top three in their conference in order for a player to win?
I don't know if they have
to be.
It's
kind of like victories have told us, though.
Pretty, yeah, like it's going to be pretty hard because when you look at who he's going to be up against, he's going to be up against, you know, Jokic, right? They're going to be one of the best teams in the league. You know, he's going to be up against SGA, who's going to be carrying, you know, the Thunder to, you know, a top seed in the playoffs, like, the way they're playing. So if he's like, oh, yeah, Brunson's having a great year and it's comparable to SGA, but they're the fifth seed in the East, like, that's not going to cut it. Like, it's going to be a hard sell. So I do think he needs to break into that top three just because of SGA being there and kind of having, you know, like pulling, like taking his franchise to a new level. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to see Brunson do the same thing if we're going to give him the award over SGA.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Anyone else a little bit further down the board, like Anthony Edwards, 40-1. I mean, I don't see that happening, but he has been fun to watch lately. Even like a Donovan Mitchell, he's 15-1. Anthony Davis actually at 100-1. That's a big number for Anthony Davis.
Yeah, it is a big number. It's enticing. Again,
but like, can he stay healthy? That's
yeah. And it did the in-season tournament ruin the Lakers, right?
Like, it looks like it did. Yeah.
I mean, they're like a 500 team now. Like, they're luckily, like in the West, I feel like the teams that are positioned to be not playoff teams, like maybe Utah can fight to get in there. Like, they're like right around 500. But there's not a lot of teams that are going to like jump up in the standings, or we expect to jump up in the standings. Like, so I think that the Lakers are probably safe to at least be a play-in team, but I don't think they'll be good enough to where. And is Davis going to, like, if they are that kind of team, like, I don't know, is Davis going to be playing all these minutes? Like, is he going to be out there every night? You know, he has injuries, concerns himself, right? So, they're the questions you have to see. Like, can he overcome that kind of stuff? I'm not so sure. Like, I think I like the Brunson look. Like, I think that makes sense. Like, you want to look at teams that might be able to take a leap. I'm not completely out on the idea of Edwards. I'm not ready to bite yet. Like, I want to see them do it for a little longer. But it might take, like, you know, an injury, like maybe an Embiid injury, or God forbid, like an SGA injury or something like that, to knock someone off to where he can kind of like catapult up there.
Or an injury on the Timberwolves where he all of a sudden has to pick up the load even more than he's already doing. Right.
Cat and his goes numbers down or something and he just goes ballistic. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Coach of the Year is kind of an interesting market right now because you have – I don't know how to say his last name, the coach of the Thunder. How do we say that?
I think it's Dagnall, right?
Dagnall.
Yeah. Yeah. I think okay. So. Yeah.
Coach, sure. I'm going to call him Coach D.
Coach D. We'll go with that.
Coach D is at the top of the board. +130. Mm-hmm. Chris Finch over at Minnesota, 225. And then you have Jamal Mosley in Orlando, 750. Missoula, 9-1. And then it kind of goes down from there. What stands out to you in this market, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I think they got the right guy favored. You know, like when you talk about it, like I think that he is the guy that if they continue to do what they're doing, he's going to win the award, right? Like he's the guy that's going to win the award because they're going to be the best story, like coming out of nowhere, like the Thunder, like their ascension. Now, Minnesota's right there. So if they do slip and Minnesota takes over, I think Finch has an argument. But there aren't really a lot of surprises. Like, you know, there's guys who I think deserve it. Like Mosley, what Orlando's doing is good, but are they going to be good enough to where he can get recognition? It's almost like the same thing with, like, Brunson and SGA at the MVP level. Like, are they going to be good enough to knock off Finch or, you know, or Dagnall, like, with the Thunder? Like, probably not. You know what I mean? The one I would keep an eye on that I think is pretty interesting, there's actually two of them. I liked Carlisle before the Halliburton injury. Because, like, I thought, like, hey, if the Pacers could continue to get better, if they could be a fun team, like, you know, maybe he can get a look. But now with this Halliburton injury, like, I'm off that. Like, I don't think that, you know, there's a chance of that if he's going to be in and out of the lineup. They're just going to be a team that just lets up a ton of points and doesn't score as much. But keep an eye on Tyronn Lue, man. Like, the Clippers, I know it's like it feels like the Cowboys in a sense. Like, they're reeling me in, and now here they go. They're going to let me go. But, you know, what they're doing on offense, like, you know, Kawhi can be a little bit more facilitator. He doesn't have to be the guy at the end of the games. So he can let George and Harden do that. If they're, you know, if they remain healthy, you know, it's also a big question. I think they're – I mean, they could finish as, like, a top seed in the West. Like, maybe not the number one seed, but – I can see them finishing as, you know, a top two seed, like overtaking the Thunder or Minnesota or one of those teams. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, and then, you know, you look at it and it's like, hey, when they made the trade for Harden, everyone kind of laughed and it's like, look at this disaster waiting to happen. And Lou pulls it together and, you know, makes and finally gets the Clippers to where they always should have been. You know what I mean? And so I think, you know, it was 18-1. I think it's probably worth a little bit of a look right now. Like, if I was going to take a stab on someone lower down the board, it would probably be Lou. Like, I like that better than Nurse. you know, because I think that.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, like Nurse is so Embiid dependent, you know what I mean? To where like, hey, if George gets hurt for a little bit, Kawhi and Harden can probably still shoulder the load. Like as long as everyone doesn't go down, all three, mm-hmm. like they have guys that can kind of fill in. So I think Lou makes a little bit of sense there. Now buying into the Clippers is, again, it's a little bit risky, right? They have a history, you know?
Well, they did just pay Kawhi. So yep. Clearly they like him there.
Kawhi
confident that he's going to be able to stay on the floor. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I actually really like that. Cause the Clippers are, they feel like, I mean, they're great on both sides of the ball right now. So they have that going for him. Plus Lou might be one of the only coaches that's able to get the most out of Harden out of the right. four stops he's been at these last couple of seasons. Like that in and of itself is an accomplishment to have James Harden buying into your system and his role in that. And for the most part, I mean, yeah, this team, knock on wood, has stayed healthy. And if they continue that, I think they're going to be really tough come postseason time because they were my favorite, I believe, last year going into the season. I thought they had a chance to win the championship, and that got derailed pretty quickly. So I was very wrong on that take. But this is kind of feels like the weight of this team putting it together with the talent that they have is finally coming to fruition after a couple of years of injuries really derailing them, things like that. So, and they don't seem to be talked about quite as much as the OKC, the, mm-hmm. I mean, Boston, Milwaukee, even. I think they're better than Milwaukee right now, just with how Milwaukee's playing defense, and Milwaukee's talked about more. So they're kind of flying under the radar. What's that?
I said, is Milwaukee playing defense?
Did I say that? I meant
with Milwaukee. No, you said how they're playing defense, and I'm are they really playing defense? I don't think they're playing defense.
With how they are attempting to play defense, I should say that. Yeah. So yeah, I actually really like that. You might've just talked me into a little sprinkle on Lou.
I haven't touched it yet, but I'm telling you, I got my eye on it. And you know, the Clippers are a team, like I said, like I think I was off the train last year, but I think the 4 years before that, like I bet them in the futures market to win the title. Like it went right through COVID, like the whole thing, man. Like it was almost like it was an error where I was like, here comes Kawhi and like, you know, the Clippers, like this is going to be the year. And last year was just so like him sitting out at the end, like, can they stay healthy? That is really what it comes down to. And it's hard betting into the futures market because of that in the NBA. Right. Like you just don't know, like, are those guys going to be there at the end? So it's tough, but that's why the price is what it is, right? If we knew all these guys were going to be healthy, you know, it'd be more like 4-1 and not 18-1. So you got to risk it to get the biscuit. That's how it goes.
Oh, that's good. I haven't heard that before. Risk it to get the biscuit. All right, Mark. Well, that's kind of all we had for today. I guess being Victor Wembanyama had his first triple-double last night, youngest player in NBA history to have a triple-double. Do we like him for rookie of the year? Because right now, Chet Holmgren is the favorite at minus 200, and Wemby's plus 140 of those two. I would take Chet. I mean, not at this price, but I think he probably ends up winning it because I'm not sure down the stretch how much San Antonio is going to play him late in the season, where the Thunder are going to be positioned to pretty high in the conference and to go to the postseason, right?
Right. So his games at the end of the year are going to be more meaningful, and you know what he's doing is going to seem more impactful. I mean, we look at it, there's two sides to it, right? Like you're like, man, I don't want to bet into a rookie of the year market with a guy who, you know, has been injured, you know, like it, you know, minus 210, but if he stays healthy, it's probably only going to get wider, right? Like this might be the best it gets unless he gets hurt. And maybe that's what you kind of look for is like, okay, does he miss a couple weeks? Like, does he kind of like tweak something or whatever? Like not a serious injury. That kind of lets the odds close a little bit. And then as long as he's healthy for, you know, the spring into the summer, then boom, you know, there might be like an area where you can like buy in on him at a better price. But I just think like, I mean, Spurs are going to be in lottery mode and this dude's going to be dragging him to the playoffs. Like it's going to be hard not to give him the award, but I don't know. I mean, it'll be, Listen, they're big men, and big men get injured, and that's the hardest part.
Chet, so. Both of these players are just twigs, like toothpicks.
Right, right.
I keep waiting for one of their ankles just to snap. I don't want that to happen, obviously. But of all big men, like, they just seem more fragile than a lot of the, you know, Jokic, Embiid type.
Yeah. I mean, you look at even Shaq. Like, Shaq played, like, I want to say he only played, like, 60 games per year on average. Like, he wasn't, like... Yeah. I mean, even he got hurt, and you see Embiid, like, how big he is, but now, you know, he's not, like, a thin guy anymore. Like, he still gets hurt. Like, his knees still go. So, you know, like, it is difficult. Like, big men, you know, Yao Ming, right? We saw that, right? Now, he's obviously, like, a different species, but big, tall, you know what I mean? Kind of, like, in that Wemby mold. But, you know, so, I don't know. I mean, these guys are young, so, you know, there's hope that he can get through the season, but... You have to keep that in mind. And if you're looking at it from that perspective, you know, I don't know, man. Like, Hawkins Jr., you know, 50
yeah, I know.
Does that make sense, right? If the big men go down and get injured, Hawkins Jr., that's a pretty big number right now.
That is. And he's playing as good as anyone right now for the Heat, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think that could be a way to attack it. Like, if you want to do something now, maybe just bet on the big men, you know, missing some time and trying to get a great number on Hawkins Jr.
I kind of like that as well. Well, we'll keep an eye on that one throughout the coming weeks as we near All-Star break. Because then things really start to pick up after that and teams start getting serious about making some runs and all that good stuff. So we'll keep an eye on that. But Mark, that's all we got for today. Anything else you want to chit-chat about?
Not really. I mean, listen, John Morant thing I think is horrible. Like, the fact that he goes down. We talked about that on the show. Is like, hey, you know, can they make the playoffs? He comes back. Everything looks good. Like, you know, I loved it to get Marcus Smart back, and now the whole season's a wash. So that kind of stinks for Grizzlies fans. It stinks for people who, you know, wanted to see if they – oh, I just wanted to see, like, could they make the run and actually get in? I thought that would have been a great story, but, you know, it's lotto time for Memphis now.
Yeah, I mean, being their shot to make the playoffs with how they started the season was so difficult. Like, this almost, you could see this as like a little bit of a silver lining of like, might probably would have missed the playoffs anyway, but now you're going to likely lose a ton of games and get a higher draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, don't get someone good in the draft, man, to put with Morant. So now you're going to have Smart, you're going to have Morant, you're going to have those guys back, you know.
Yeah. So we'll see. Keep an eye on that one as well. All right, that's going to do it for us here on Bringing Home the Hardware. You can find Mark on Twitter at @X_Drumheller. I am at Kate Constable. Check out the podcast on the Believe Network and wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.